It's Michael Harris Live on 580 CFRA. The number's 521 Talk. That's 521-8255.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back to the program. And when they write one book about you when you're alive, that's one thing. When they write two books about you when you're alive in this country and you're a politician, it's something else. Frank McKenna, who was a two-term premier in New Brunswick, who served and just created a taste for more, had no scandals, left politics largely because of his wife's distaste for the cynicism of Canadian politics, has had two books written about him, one by my friend Philip Lee, who teaches at St. Thomas University in the Journalism School in Fredericton, and the other by Harvey Soller. And there is an excellent piece written by Brian Lee Crowley, and you'll know that name because he is well known for his previous books. And we had him on about his new book, which he has written with Jason Clemens and Neil Valdoui, The Canadian Century. And he's written a terrific piece about Frank McKenna. And it is so timely because people in the Liberal Party are really in front of the issue of effective leadership. And this is a name that keeps coming up. And here to talk to us about his piece and about Frank McKenna is the author of The Best PM We'll Never Have, Brian Lee Crowley. Brian, welcome again to the program. I'm going to have to hire
Michael.
You.
Yeah, it's always great to be on the show with you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Tell me something. Frank McKenna, I followed him. I followed the Richard Hatfield period closely in New Brunswick. I watched the wipeout in which the Conservatives had no seats. And everybody expected that Frank McKenna would eventually become like other politicians. But in a remarkable way, he didn't. He stayed in for a couple of terms. He did what he said he was going to do. And I might add, he did it scandal-free. So he became one of the names that you constantly heard was a natural to move into federal politics, to become the leader of the Liberal Party. Why didn't that happen?
Well, look, I think it's largely, well, it's got to do with a number of things. But look, I think, first of all, frankly, and I say this in my review of Soller's book about Frank, and I know Frank, so I want to put that right on the table.
Yep.
I'm a huge Frank admirer. So I think Frank, frankly, has outgrown Canadian politics. You, in your intro, you talked about his wife's distaste for the cynicism of Canadian politics.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, I just think that Frank is one of these extremely rare people who gets into Canadian politics, does a terrific job, and then transcends that job. You know, he's gone beyond Canadian politics. He has become somebody who plays on the world stage. You know, former U.S. presidents call him up and ask him for advice. He's traveling the world with some of the most important people who are making the most important decisions in the world. I got to tell you, frankly, he would have to put up with a lot of guff if he wanted to get back into politics, and he'd end up probably with less power and certainly less money. So what's in it for him? He's a great lover of Canada.
Yes.
And I think if he felt that there was a job that desperately needed doing that only he could do, he would step up to the plate for the country that he loves.
But you know, I covered
I don't think he sees that.
I covered many of the New England Governor Canadian Premiers conferences.
Mm.
He became a senior member of that, and people used to say about him, he was every man in the sense that he didn't have the exceptionalism of a Michael Ignatieff, but he was a person everybody gravitated towards. He made the most and then some of whatever he was given. But I remember asking him about moving into federal politics, as I've asked Danny Williams and other people, and he said that if there were a crisis, that was his. If there were a crisis, my country needed me, I would answer the call. But in terms of doing it for any other reason, I don't think you'll ever see him do it.
No, I think that's right. And I think he's risen, frankly, above party. I mean, it might be that the Liberal Party feels that it's in crisis. There's a bit of a case to be made for that, I would say.
Yes, there is.
And you know, it might be that the Liberal Party might come to him and say, you know, my God, you know, we're in terrible shape here. And I think his reaction to that would be, that may be so, but I'm not your man. He's got his finger in a lot of pies. As you know, he's one of the top three people at TD Bank. This is a huge job. He's doing a huge amount of work in Haiti, where he's got he's working with a foundation that's doing terrific work there. He's got lots of other things on the ball. He's making a tremendous contribution to the country and to the world, and frankly doing so in a kind of job or in several jobs that don't involve the kind of loss of privacy and dignity and so on that I think have become the hallmark of Canadian politics.
Let's just talk about that for a second, because that's a very, very important point to make, and that is that when someone enters public life, usually there is a well-worn path that they travel. Not many like McKenna leave unscathed, and in fact, creating a taste for even more McKenna. Most of them end up in the political life, as you put in your piece. I like this: the broken families, the estranged children, the sleepless nights, the loss of privacy, all that stuff. But on top of all that, Brian, there is also a toxic level of cynicism about politicians who would stand up and join a group that are held in such low esteem.
Well, look, I mean, just think about former prime ministers of Canada. I mean, if this is the club we're asking Frank McKenna to join, you know, ask him to become leader of the Liberal Party, to become prime minister, and then let's think about the people who have had that job and have left it. I mean, I think many of them have floundered, you know, looking for a role in life. I think they're very badly treated by the media and the public. You know, it's hard to know what to do as a follow-up to having been Prime Minister of Canada. And unlike American presidents, I don't think we create a useful public role for them. And I think that's a pity. So, you know, there's no doubt he'd have to take a significant cut in income to do this.
Huge.
It wouldn't bother him if he to go back to what he said to you. You know, if there were a crisis for the country, he would make sacrifices for the country, and if there were a crisis, he'd be asking us to make sacrifices. So you know, that's fair. He's not in the game, in my experience, for the glory or all the personal aggrandizement that often, unfortunately, attracts many people to politics. He's proven to himself that he can do that job. He doesn't need to prove anything to himself. And so unless there's a real major challenge, this is a man who's proven himself equal to every job he's taken on, whether ambassador to the United States, a top banker in the country, longtime premier of New Brunswick. He doesn't have anything to prove to anybody.
Let me ask you this question, because you raised the issue of not necessarily a leadership crisis, but there's definitely a restlessness in the Liberal Party that is counterproductive to presenting yourself as a government in waiting. There have been lots of stories about mergers. There's been lots of stories about possible political successors should Michael Ignatieff either decide to leave or be pushed out of his position. When you scan the landscape of Canadian politics, Brian, do you see many people like McKenna? Is there a pool of people that we should be getting into politics who don't maybe come in because of what we've described on this show as a toxic cynicism about public life?
I'm quite convinced that there's a huge number of extremely valuable people who give public life a miss because they just can't possibly stomach, either for themselves or they can't ask their families to stomach the kind of intrusive gawking that goes on in part through the media, but also, you know, the way your reputation's dragged through the mud in Parliament and so on. I must say that I think Canadian politics has become just a cesspit of of cynicism, and it drives away the best people. Now, in spite of that, we still get some very good people. I don't want to leave the impression that we get the bottom of the barrel, but I just know there are a lot of people out there for whom they just couldn't possibly do it.
And you know, I think also we are one truly inspirational leader away from something. I believe that there is nothing wrong with this country of ours that what is right about it can't fix.
No, hear, hear.
Brian, very good to talk to you again. Great piece, and we continue to watch what you do.
Thanks so much, Michael. Good to talk to you.
Brian Lee Crowley, author, journalist, talking to us about Frank McKenna, a piece he's just done for the Globe and Mail on Frank McKenna, reviewing Harvey Soller's book. It's the second book. It's worth reading. So is Philip Lee's book, which was the first biography of Frank McKenna. Philip Lee, St. Thomas University. In Fredericton, New Brunswick, was head of the journalism school there. We're going to take a break.